good and the bad this morning. Consumers are spending more, but earning less.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll speak with former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm about what the U.S. can learn from Michigan's experience on jobs. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow down 130 points, a little more than a percent at 11,023. The NASDAQ down almost 2%, and the S&P 500 down just a bit over 1.5%. More evidence of weakness in China's economic growth this morning. The country's manufacturing sector shrank for the third consecutive month. Here in the U.S., the Commerce Department said today that consumers spent a little more last month than they did the month before, but they earned less for the first time in 2 years. And that's where we will start with Chris Lowe, who is chief economist at FTN Financial, and he joins us live from New York, as he does every Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Chris, consumers spent more, but they earned less. Which is the more important number there for you?
Well, I think, look, consumption is the one that goes into GDP, and that for that reason, that's what we tend to focus on. But the bottom line is that over time, income is what determines consumption. So when I see extraordinary weakness in income like that, it does make me worried.
Well, speaking of incomes going down, we've got a story about people having to now spend more on something that they've been getting for free. I'm talking about this Bank of America story. Now they want to charge people $5 a month to use a debit card. What's that about?
Ouch. Yeah. And not only Bank of America, but according to the New York Times, other banks are expected to follow suit. You know, what's going on is that traditionally a bank makes money by investing the money we deposit with them. But right now, a confluence of factors, the collapse of credit, tighter credit regulation, new rules on lending, and then also a very active Federal Reserve driving interest rates down. All of these things have squeezed the profitability of investment to just about nothing. And banks are now looking for other ways just to stay in the black.
And quickly, Chris, I mean, you don't think these banks are just blaming these regulations and saying this is what we have to do?
I don't think so. It really has become extraordinarily difficult to make money in the banking business. And I suspect what eventually is going to happen is a real shakeout in the industry. You will see fewer banks. And unfortunately, we're going to be paying more for bank services. I think this is probably just the beginning.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Thanks as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting Ken Burns' Prohibition, a look at the law that turned America lawless, starting Sunday at 8, 7 Central on PBS. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
Well, now to the number one issue in America, jobs. Experts have been scratching their heads trying to figure out how to get people back to work, and our next guest has some ideas. She is Democrat Jennifer Granholm, who wrapped up two terms as governor of Michigan in January. She was governor during the collapse and rebirth of the American auto industry. And she's just written a book about her experience called A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. She's with us here in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start with a moment early on in your governorship. The Michigan economy is starting to get worse, and this big company, Electrolux, decides to move one of its factories down to Mexico.
We went to Electrolux, and they're in a very tiny town of 8,000, but they employ 2,700 people. We had to keep it. It would have been like a nuclear bomb going off. So we said, we're going to put everything we have on the table, including tax-free 20 years, including helping to build them a new factory. The workers offered huge concessions, the local community as well. And they said to us, there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do.
And you hear that over and over again from company after company as the economy starts to get worse.
Right. Electrolux could pay $1.57 an hour in Juarez, Mexico. Other companies were trying to be competitive by going to China. They were getting pressured to lower the price of their products. The world has changed, and therefore our strategies to create jobs in America have to change too.
Is there really nothing we can do, or do you think that there is something that should be done structurally to make our employees and our locations here in this country more attractive to companies?
There's absolutely something we can do, but the point being that states alone are not equipped to compete against countries like Mexico or China or Germany. It's got to be a partnership with the federal government, states, as well as the private sector. We've got to copy what other countries are doing who are very aggressively competing in a global marketplace, places like Singapore, which have a very aggressive, comprehensive national economic strategy. They are not hands-off, which is what a lot of people who are saying get government out of the way. If government has hands off on this, then we will continue to see the loss of jobs.
Do you think the federal government is doing now what needs to be done?
Partially. I think what the president has done is to tie tax policy and the Jobs Act to job creation in America. And I think that's very smart. Every bit of policy has to have the question, will this create jobs in the United States, or will this somehow provide extra capital for a company to invest somewhere else?
How big of a role do you see manufacturing playing in America's future?
I think that advanced manufacturing absolutely must play a role in our future. It's a critical national need for a country to be able to build stuff. If we don't build things, then we are basically, you know, cutting each other's hair and teaching each other how to paint. That is not going to be a way that a nation is strong. So advanced manufacturing, the robotics, the technology associated with an advanced assembly line, the U.S. could and should focus on those issues, and especially manufacturing the means to make us energy independent, for example. We should be making that stuff here.
Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan and author of A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. Thanks so much for coming in.
You bet. Thank you.
And we've got an extended interview at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It takes some guts to make a television show called How to Make It in America in the middle of the worst economy in 70 years.
You could kind of feel that the show would be a lot of keeping your head above water and have the spirit of that, and sort of wrapping on Election Day in 2008, you kind of felt it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl on HBO, a show about surviving. Stories next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.